Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
On the line now, I have Barry Aldworth from AA Ireland. Hello, Barry. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, I know we're going to talk about something specifically, but I want to ask you a question that I was asked. The last time you were on, someone said, when are you having that chap on again? I said, pretty soon, a couple of months or a couple of weeks. Well, would you ever ask him to give an idea of the bus lanes? When are they available, say, during holidays, bank holidays and whatever? And does it apply to holy days?
Sorry, can you just repeat that there? The line kind of dropped.
Okay.
Started.
Well, one of the listeners asked me specifically to ask you about the concessions in the bus lanes for cars during holidays, specifically bank holidays. Can you use them holy days?
Okay. Off the top of my head, it is. It varies from council to council dotted around the country. So usually what you'll see is kind of signs just near the bus lanes themselves defining when they can and can't be used. It'll depend on the area. I wouldn't be able to give kind of a blanket answer for all bus lanes, but usually you'll see kind of a sign near the bus lane itself which says when it can and can't be used.
Okay.
And again, for the specific area, the best people to contact would usually be kind of the local council. They'd just be able to give an exact answer.
Okay. Okay, would the guards know if you asked them? I was not tempted to ask. The last time a question came in from the listener, I said to myself, next time I see a guard, I must ask him.
Yeah, the guards should know as well, but either the council or the guards will be able to help them out.
Okay, that's easily answered. Okay, so we're going to talk about a recent survey that came out. Can I ask you first of all about the survey? You know, it's got to do with alcohol and people having mishaps due to alcohol. Who conducted the survey? Any idea how it was conducted?
Yeah, so this is one of our regular car insurance customers, so we generally, when we're doing these, we just get a group of somewhere between kind of 6,000 and 10,000 of our car insurance customers and our AA members, and we just do kind of an email poll, which is like, we send them a series of long questions relating to a number of different motoring topics. And just the one of the topics we chose to really look at in the most recent poll was drink driving, and particularly in relation to what we're discussing today, the number of people who had been involved in either an accident or had experienced a near miss because they or another road user were driving while over the legal limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was just wondering how. I can understand the people that were specifically asked, and I felt like for them to admit that they were a little over the limit and they were driving and nearly had a mishap. But how would they know if they said, yeah, I nearly had a crash, but the other guy was a bit over the limit? How would they know that? Any idea?
Yeah, so if they had a proper crash, what would happen is if it was reported to the Gardaí, then the Gardaí will do a breathalyzer test at the scene of a crash if they feel that one or either party mm-hmm. is over the limit. And again, you know, with something like this, in the case of a near miss, people may be speculating to a degree, but you do kind of, if you've ever been behind a drink driver or driving or seen someone driving towards you mm-hmm. while you have a suspicion that they're driving well over the limit, their behaviour and the erratic nature of their driving tends to make it pretty clear. So in the case of a near miss, people are probably using a bit of guesswork, but I do think having been in that situation myself where you can see a driver in front of you who's behaving quite erratically, the signs of drink driving are pretty telltale.
Yeah, especially if it's late at night. But by all accounts, people are getting more sensible now, and the stats seem to show that you know, people are getting more sensible. Still those that are taking the chance and when they're out on the road driving, or are people becoming more ambivalent now and sort of saying, just, we'd never be caught, there's no enforcement?
Yeah, so what it appears is that, generally speaking, if you look at the majority of motorists' attitudes toward drink driving have changed quite dramatically in the last, particularly the last 10, 20 years. For the overwhelming majority, drink driving is something that they won't tolerate. Unfortunately, there is still a small number who will take the chance, and there's a couple of reasons for that. The main factor being that if you look within say the last 3 to 4 years particularly, but even since kind of the start of the recession, if we go back that far, mm-hmm. we have seen Garda resources and Garda manpower cut quite significantly. So that has resulted in obviously less Gardaí out on the roads across the country, which then leads to people who maybe in the past would have taken the chance anyway, but now they look at it and they say, well, the road between my local pub and my home, I haven't seen a guard on that road in 5, 6, 7, 8 months, mm-hmm. so I'll take the chance. So for the overwhelming majority of motorists, this kind of behaviour isn't something they tolerate anymore, but there is still a small minority who are quite selfishly putting their own safety and the safety of other users at risk.
Yeah, and it seems to be there's a sort of a wide gap there between urban and rural, I suppose, in the rural areas, because of a lot of mishaps like on secondary roads and side roads and all that sort of carry on. I'm not trying to start a war between rural and urban, but it is a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, so there is kind of some evidence there of an urban-rural divide on this. Now, it is worth saying drink driving happens in both communities, but if you look at the roads where, you know, as part of the survey, we also asked people who had experienced an incident because of someone drink driving, we asked them on what road did it occur, and the majority occurred on kind of a secondary road or lower classification, so about a quarter occurred on secondary roads, then, you know, about just 17% on minor roads. And as you go down into the lower classification road, that's where you tend to see more of these incidents occurring. But particularly noteworthy as well, we had just under 14% of these incidents or near misses occurring in city or town centres. So again, not, you know, you can't say this is only a problem for rural Ireland. It happens in both communities, but we do tend to see it more so on lower classification roads, probably because of the fact that in line with Gardaí manpower being reduced, their priority has to go to policing motorways, higher classification roads, so then the country roads, the rural roads, and even city and town centres themselves fall down the pecking order that little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course with the new legislation brought in by Minister Ross, I mean, it's no point in bringing in stronger legislation if they can't enforce it.
Yeah, that's the issue. I think the legislation is welcome and it's a good idea, but you need more Gardaí out there to actually make it workable. If you look at our road legislation and our statutes on road law to date, we actually have very, very strong laws in that space, and they're amongst the strongest in Europe. Mm-hmm. The problem is we don't have the number of Gardaí needed to act to adequately enforce them. So new legislation, new law is definitely welcome. I think anything which makes people question their attitudes towards drink driving is, you know, needed, but what we really, really need in to go hand in hand with that is an increase in the number of Gardaí across the country in both urban and rural areas.
Okay, Barry, just as a point of interest, you know, CCTV all over the place, especially in the suburbs and in the main parts of the city, can that be used in court if someone is caught, say, going through a red light or maybe behaving a little bit erratically? You see the car sort of waving a little bit left to right. Can that be used at all?
It can, in theory. So what would be a case, you'd often see it happen if there was a road collision or something in kind of a designated area, and Gardaí know that there are CCTV cameras in the area. They can request that footage. Now, they can only request it, and unless they get a warrant for it, they're not guaranteed access to it. But any of that kind of CCTV footage can be used in court or to prove, you know, that someone was drink driving or to define who was at fault for a collision. Mm. But you tend to only see Gardaí go down that route if there has been an actual incident. Unfortunately, at the moment, Gardaí don't have the manpower to look at, you know, check CCTV cameras for someone breaking a red light. So it's only if there has been an incident that kind of thing would happen.
Well, could he use it on the spot? They can't have the people everywhere, as you say, they're undermanned, but can they use it as a, you know, backup sort of? They can use it as eyes, for instance, and sort of ring up the local guards, whoever does the CCTV, and say, listen, there's someone, get out there and look after them and stop them there. all over the place. Can they do that?
It would be very difficult to do, because what you'll often see with those CCTV cameras is they kind of just act as a recording. They're not necessarily monitored 24/7, but that it's then that if, you know, if something happens, they can go back to the footage 24 or 48 hours later. So very difficult for a system where they could actually be monitored and used to inform Gardaí. But I think, you know, more Gardaí should come as the priority, but if that's not a feasible option, then certainly worth exploring alternatives.
Okay, listen, thank you very much, Brady. Can I ask you one question before you go, to do with the electric cars? Do you think that they're, you know, up there for coming in the next 5 years? What do you think? What's people's attitude towards them?
I think we're starting to see a shift in that, you know, for the last couple of years we've seen people's interest in the hybrid cars growing, so that would be kind of a petrol, electric, hybrid usually. And I think within the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you're going to see electric cars become more of a common sight on our road. You're going to eventually see the phasing out of diesel first and foremost, but even in the longer term, petrol cars. I think we're probably a few years away yet from a time when electric cars will form the majority of the cars on a road. Mm-hmm. But that is absolutely where the future is heading. So motoring is going to get cleaner, it's going to get more energy efficient, and I think now is a good time to try and go electric if you can, but certainly within the next 10 to 15 years we will eventually get to a place where petrol and diesel cars will be a thing of the past.
And are they getting you to a state as well where they're quite affordable?
Absolutely. I think that's that's one of the main issues people have at the moment. What we know ourselves from research we've done in the past is there's two kind of factors which tend to put people off going electric. Number one being the upfront cost, and number two being the kind of absence of charging points across Ireland. So if you're in a city centre, you'll see a lot of charging points. But as you go out into rural communities, even out onto motorways, you tend not to see charging points as frequently available.
Yeah.
So that needs to change for people's attitudes to really shift to electric cars. So we need more investment in that. And then as they become more common, we should see the upfront cost fall as well.
Yeah, I suppose that's the reason why the hybrid cars are so popular as well, because when one start finishes, they can just go over to the other one. The reason I asked that question was because I was amazed to hear on another radio station there last week about sort of automatic cars they're talking about in other countries, and we haven't caught up with the electric one yet, so it'll be certainly a long time before we get the automatic cars here. That's the reason why I asked. Listen, Barry, always a great pleasure to talk to you. Any other points you can point out to our motors now? I suppose the weather's getting a little bit milder now, I suppose. But still, always be careful with we're still getting some pretty erratic weather, aren't we?
Definitely. We're nearing the end of winter, I suppose. But unfortunately, over the next couple of months, we're still going to see that kind of frequent changes in weather occur. So, you know, you might be driving along in perfect weather and then there's going to be a heavy downpour or the winds are going to pick up. So again, most important message for motorists at this time of year, but even all year round, is just to adapt your driving to whatever conditions present themselves. Don't drive the exact same way as you do when it's sunny, when it's lashing rain or when there's ice on the roads. Just slow down, adapt your driving, and hopefully you'll get home fine.
Okay, and I suppose it's like walking or wherever you may be, always trying to navigate the territory. If you don't know, take your time and get
Absolutely.
To know the area. Okay, thank you very much, Barry. Always a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, bye-bye. And that's Barry Allworth, PR Officer with AA Ireland.